This morning, turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verses 1 through 3. I just thought of something kind of funny. I'll tell you all in a moment. I thought of this years ago. All right, look at 1 through 3. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you were saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your blessings that you give us. And God, we pray today, Lord, that we will just let the Holy Spirit touch us at the point of our need. For we come here this morning, all of us, with different needs in our life. And Lord, you know each and every one what we're facing and what's going through our minds and our hearts. And Lord, I just ask today that the Holy Spirit speak to those hearts, that you may touch us. And Lord, if there's someone here that needs to make a decision for revival in their own life, Lord, they might come this morning and just get their heart right with you, that that revival might break loose. And Lord, for salvation, we pray, Lord, that if you'll just touch someone that's lost, that they might come to know you. They can have the joy of salvation in their life. Lord, we give you praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. As I read this scripture, I think of Paul as he writes. He tells us in the Bible some good news, and he tells us some bad news. The bad news is that we are sinners. We're lost. We need salvation. The good news is the gospel of a Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I thought of this about happened years ago. Two ladies were walking down the street, and they were talking about, they hadn't seen each other in a while, and they were talking about their life and what they were doing. And one of them said, "I want to tell you, I'm so excited. I married a guy, and he is rich." The other one looked at her and said, "Well, that's great news. Good news." She said, "Well, not so good news. He's stingy." She said, "Oh, that is bad. A rich man and he's stingy with his money." She said, "Well, it's not really all that bad because he built me a mansion of a house." She said, "Oh, that's great news." She said, "Well, not so good news because the other night it caught fire and burnt down." And he's, "Oh, yeah, that is bad." And she said, "Not all bad. He was in it." Well, I think of that story. I think about the Bible. The Bible is good news and bad news. The bad news is that we're lost. The good news is Christ died for us. Christ died for us. Now, the Bible tells us in the Word of God, Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned. That means all of us are sinners. We are born into sin. We have that old sin nature in our life. The Bible says we are helpless to do anything about that. We are lost. We need a Savior. And we don't like being lost and not able to do anything about it. So many times we try to save ourselves. We try to do good works. We try to go to do good things. We give on special occasions to people, and we do all we can to make it sound like we're good people, but down inside, the Bible says we have that old sin nature. And the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. If we die in our sin, then we are going to an eternity lost without a Savior, separated from God who loves us. The Bible tells us that God so loved the world. We talked that scripture the first week, I think, in the first month. God so loved the world that he gave his son. That is the good news of the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Paul writes this, and he wants us to know there is good news in Christ. The first statement he makes is that Christ died for our sins. So we look at that and we see that Christ died for our sins. The person of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Christianity is not a philosophy, nor is it a set of rules. Christianity is a personal relationship with a living Savior, the Lord who loves us and gave himself for us that we might have eternal life. A personal relationship. Now this morning, if you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have realized that you're a sinner and that you needed a Savior, and Christ was the Savior that came and died for you, and you by faith have trusted him as your Lord and Savior, you have a personal relationship with God. Now, we sing that story or song, I heard an old story, how the Savior came from glory. Now, the gospel is the good news that Jesus Christ came to us. Jesus Christ came, and he lived on earth. He was, the Bible tells us, God in the flesh. So we come this morning and we can praise God for this miracle birth that Christ came and died on the cross for us. Now I know that we have that personal Savior that loves us and cares for us enough to die on a cruel cross that we might have life. You see, there was a man in John said, named Nicodemus. Nicodemus came and he came to Jesus by night, the Bible says, and he came and says, good master, we know that you are a teacher come from God. Now listen to that. Master, you know, we know that you are a teacher come from God. He was wrong on that occasion. For Jesus was not a teacher that come from God. Jesus was God who came down to teach. He came down to teach us about life. He came down to teach us how we should live life. He came down to teach us how we should love one another. He came down to teach us that we should put Christ first in our life, and then all of these other things shall come. And I believe that with all my heart because the Bible teaches that. Put Christ first in your life. Oh, he's there. He come down to teach. The Bible says that God is the express image of the Father. Or Jesus is the express image of the Father. Now, sometimes someone will come up to you probably and say that knows you real well and knows your family real well and say, you know, you are just like your dad. Or you're just like your mother. And they mean that they don't probably mean you're the express image of your dad, but you've got qualities or traits in your life that are just like your parents. Well, the Bible says that Jesus Christ not only had the traits, he was the express image of God. He's the invisible or the image of the invisible God. And when Jesus Christ walked, it was God walking, literally. When Jesus Christ taught, it was God teaching, literally. When Jesus Christ says in the Word of God, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, Jesus Christ was in the beginning. That's eternity. He was there in the beginning. Before the very foundation of the world, Jesus was God in the beginning. The Word was God. That's equality with God. And the Word was God, it says. That's divinity. He was there. He was divine Savior, divine God. And the Bible also says Jesus, as a human, came to us. For it says the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Folks, God came to us. God came to us. Can you imagine that just for a moment? Christ became a man. He chose to become a man. Now, the eternal God confined himself to a period of years in a body like a human being that he created in the beginning. He was made like you and I. And yet the Bible says, even though he was a human in the flesh, he was without sin. Now that kind of blows our mind, doesn't it, sometimes? We don't understand all there is to know, but God was a man, and yet he was a God-man. You know, I read something one time that said something like this. When Jesus, who was this man Jesus? Well, he was that man who slept in a boat. He was so much God that he slept in a boat, yet he was so much God that the wind ceased to blow when he spoke. Can you imagine that? Even the wind and the waves obeyed God. He was so much man that he slept when wept when Lazarus cried. Yet he was so much God that Lazarus arose when he cried out. That's God in the flesh. Yet he is God with us. And he experienced what you and I experience in life. He knew what it was to be tired. He knew what it was to be hungry. He knew what it was to feel compassion. You see, God knew what it meant to go to the grave and weep over a friend's death. He knew what it was to be man. And yet he was God. And sometimes we wonder, does the Lord really care? I've heard that over and over. Preacher, does God care about us? Oh, yes, he cares. Yes, he cares. I know he cares. You see? My heart is touched with my grief. His heart is touched with my grief. The song says, when the days grow weary, the long night dreary, I know that my Jesus cares. He was the person of God. He became a man, the Bible says, in human flesh, and yet he was divine. He was divine. My Savior, God, cares. And he cares for you where you are today, whatever you're facing. You know that God cares. You see, he was tired, and he sat down one day at a well to rest, and yet he was so divine that he could say to the people, come unto me, and you'll find rest. He was thirsty that he went to a well and asked for a drink, and so much divine that he told the lady at the well, if you only knew the water that I have to give you, you would never thirst again. Paul says here, Christ died for our sins. That is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He came to us. The person of Jesus Christ came to us this morning. The person of Jesus Christ is here this morning in the power of the Holy Spirit. God is here speaking to our hearts this morning. He watches over us. Each day, everywhere we go, every step of the way, he hears us in our prayers when we call upon his name. He says, call upon me. I will show you great and mighty things. Our Lord cares. And then we see the passion of Christ. Paul says not only that the gospel of Christ, but Christ died for us. It's not unusual for a person to die. We see people that die every day. You go to the hospitals and you see people that are dying. You see the highways on people that are dying on the highways. The other day I saw, after this tornado came through down towards Lufkin, a 3-year-old and an 8-year-old died in a car that a tree fell on the car. Their mother and father were in the front seat. They were in the back. We see, oh, that's so tragic. Tragedy happens in our life. The Bible says it is appointed a man wants to die. But when Jesus died, his death was unlike any other death that's ever been on this earth or will ever be on this earth again. When Christ died, he died not for the things that he had done, but the things that we have done. We sinned, not him. And he died, the Bible says, for our sin. And no one has ever suffered like Jesus Christ suffered that day upon the cross. The word for death, when he died for our sin upon the cross, is a word used for slaughter. They slaughtered him upon that cross. They tore his flesh off of his body upon that cross. It was a violent death, like we've never seen before. He didn't die in a peaceful condition in a hospital bed with family members gathered around. He died upon a cruel cross as a criminal. He died for us with people hollering and spitting and mocking him upon that cross. Yet he died for them. He died for us. For our sins, he died on that old hill of Calvary. Amongst the cries of a godless world, mocking, spitting, crucifixion was one of the worst forms of death invented by the Phoenicians. They got the idea by seeing, I think I told you this once before, a rat nailed to a wall. And that was a cruel idea, and they thought, you know, it would be so neat just to kill someone and nail them to a wall. So they started hanging people on a cross, and they started nailing them to a cross. Extremely cruel, and we wonder sometimes, how in the world can humans be so cruel? And yet we know the answer to that. The answer is because of sin in the world. We feed our minds and we give our minds over to the devil. And the devil doesn't love you. The devil wants to kill you. The devil wants to steal your soul. He wants to send you to a place called hell. They pull the beard from Jesus Christ. They did everything they could to make him suffer. And yet he did nothing to them except cry, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing." Now, if I or you had been on that cross, I'm sure that suffering spiritually like that and painfully, we would not have wanted to forgive our enemies today. But yet Christ suffered for us physically. And then spiritually, Isaiah says he made his soul an offering for sin. He who knew no sin became sin for us. And he cried, "My God, my God, my Father, why have you forsaken me?" Boy, what a dark time in the life of one who did nothing wrong. I think of his substitution. You see, Christ died not for his sins, But the Word of God says He died for our sins, my sins. He took my place upon that cross. Now think about it. He took your place upon the cross. You know the story. They took Him to trial. They gave Him a illegal trial, and they found Him guilty. And, you know, they were supposed to crucify Barabbas. And Pilate said, listen, I'll release Jesus to you, or I'll release Barabbas. And they said, what? Give us Barabbas. He was a crook, a murderer of the worst kind. And they wanted him. He was scheduled. Just think about his life. He was scheduled to die on that cross. It was like a prisoner waiting on death row the last day, and Pilate could release one. And they said, give us Barabbas. Can you imagine how he felt that long night? Laying there thinking, well, I hear him building that cross. I hear the wood being put together. In a few minutes, this is my last night on earth. I'm going to be taken out and I'm going to be nailed to that cross. And the next morning, as the roosters are crowing and the sun begins to rise, Barabbas is laying there in that cell, and here comes the soldiers, and they come and they open the door, and he thinks he's fixing to go out to be crucified. And they said, Barabbas, you're free to go. What? Yes, you're free to go. This man, Jesus, is going to die for you. Well, he hasn't done anything. He's going to die for you. Imagine how you would have felt. The problem is today there's no sense of personal guilt. You see, we want to blame everybody else. We want to quit. We want to do things our way. Everything is right if it seems right. If I ain't hurting anybody else, what does it bother me to sin? It's not hurting them. You see, Jesus died for our sin. When David was confessing sin, I remember what he said, Lord, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me, Lord, from my sin. You see, that's what God does for us. When we come to realize we're sinners, we need a Savior, and Jesus Christ is our Savior, and we trust Him for the cleansing. Folks, let me tell you something. We need to fess up, my little brother would say. We sinned. It's us that should have died. And when Jesus died, He was simply dealing with the aspect of sin in the world. He died to cancel that sin debt. Somebody has to pay the price. And humans, in their sinful condition, cannot pay the price. It had to be a lamb, spotless, without blemish. And that was the Lamb of God, His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who before the foundation of the world decided that He would go and He would pay the price. Oh, the Scripture's right when it says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The debt had to be paid, and you and I couldn't pay it. That's the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Folks, that's the good news. You know, if you're here this morning and you're without Christ, the good news of the gospel is that Christ died for you. It doesn't stop there. Next week we'll look at the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But this morning he died for you. And you know what? Some of you may be lost today. You may be without Christ in your life. And you think, well, if I can just get a little bit of religion, no. Like the little boy, you know, he said, Mama, do I have to have a spanking? Can't you just dust me off a little? It don't work that way. Sin is serious. It's so serious that God so loved the world that he gave Jesus to be crucified on the cross to die for our sins, that if we by faith would say yes to him, repent of our sin, and turn our lives around, we shall have eternal life. It's just that simple. But the choice is yours. He's not going to force you to come. He's not going to twist your arm. He's just going to convict you that you're lost and that you need a Savior. And if you stand there and reject his call, then when you die, don't blame the condition on the world. Don't blame anybody, but blame yourself, because you've heard the word of the Bible. Christ died for our sins. He paid the price that you might not have to die and spend an eternity separated from God. He loves you so much that he wants you to come to him simply by faith this morning. He wants you to have revival, Christians. You see, revival is not for lost people. Revival is for Christians. You can't revive something that's dead. Revival is for Christians. And he wants you to have revival. But, you know, we like to be dusted off also. We say, Lord, I just want a little bit of cleaning up. No, it's all the way or nothing. You want revival, you pay the price for it. You must live a holy life. You must live for God. Yes, we do sin. We confess our sin. The Bible says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Bible says, if my people which are called by my name, what will humble themselves? That means you got to just confess it. I have fallen short this week. And I'm willing to confess that, Lord, I want revival. If you will pray and seek his face and turn from that sin, then he will hear your prayer and heal our land. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come this morning, and Lord, we know that you died for our sin. And Lord, if there's someone here that needs to make a decision to trust you as Lord and Savior, they realize that they need you. May they come. If there's someone here that needs reviving in their Christian walk, may they come and just kneel at the altar and say, Lord, today I want to get my life straight so I can have revival. I want to live for you. Lord, if there's someone here looking for a church home and you've led them this way, Lord, I pray that they might come. For it's in your precious name, the name of Jesus, we ask these things. Amen.